of a delay button.
Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyflip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Del Boar Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
And Mike's also here. I mean, we all missed last week.
Yeah. So. The weather. It was...
Blame it on the weather. Yeah, I was working. We had a big event last Saturday, our second biggest event of the year, and I had to do yard work. I had to do yard work getting ready for it. So I didn't get home until about 8:30 last Thursday. And 8:30 evening, not in the morning. So made for a long day, but I got everything done. And then Mike was also tied up, so he wasn't able to do the show. But we're back. We're ready.
We're here. Yes. Are you drinking anything in particular tonight?
Actually, I am. I have in my cup here an Argentinian Malbec.
Wow.
I enjoy Malbecs. I really do. This is Rancho Alto Malbec. It's from the Mendoza region of Argentina. Says high on the Argentinian Andean foothills, clean vineyards in the arid soils. The mountain range makes for a rugged area, but it produces elegant structure in the wines. Rich and subtle with earthy tones and velvety ripe fruit. So, yeah, it's nice. It's Malbecs tend to give the wines a little bit of a hint of a chocolatey type aroma and taste, and it's really bringing it out in this Malbec. It's pretty decent. And you, are you enjoying something tonight?
Yes, I am. I have a couple of other bottles sitting in front of me just because they're labels and everything, but I chose to go with, again, the Florida State Winery's Strawberry Port. And now, I didn't have a functional wine glass that I could use for it, so I poured it in an old Coca-Cola glass. I mean,
that
it tastes like wine. When I was like, you know, I can't do plastic, let me grab a glass. And I got to tell you, I mean, every time I take a sip of this, and I'm not just, we didn't talk about this and go, hey, Ron never tells me, hey, can you plug anything for the wine or anything? I told him before we started, I was like, I'm drinking the port again. I mean, it's like, it's not staged, it's not, you know, any kind of request or anything like that, but I dive into the, you know, I open up the bottle and I'm like, this is good. If I'm telling you, if you're ever near Newport or Newport Richie, what's the alcohol content again? If you're ever near
more than you should be having during the program.
if you're ever near Land O'Lakes, near 75 and State Route 52, go west 4 miles, go to the winery, do a wine tasting, and get yourself some strawberry port. It is, I'm just blown away. It's just fantastic. And, you know, I'm not an expert. I'm not going to sit there and, you know, tell you what it tastes like in between, you know, my gums and all that kind of stuff. You just taste it. And it's like, it's incredible. Strawberry port. And it's just a great wine. And, I have another wine, sitting here. That's a blueberry wine. I have another one that's, I don't know, some fancy paper label, from France, Chardonnay. I didn't open any of those because I know once I open the strawberry port, what I'm getting, and it tastes phenomenal. So check it out, strawberry port. Yes, from Florida
Thank
State
you.
Winery.
So, Thank you.
I mean, yeah. And Ron doesn't ask me to do this. He doesn't say, you know, that's a voluntary thing. And I right before the show started, I said, you know what, I'm going to drink some wine because I know Ron comes in with his, you know, sample, and I was like, okay. All I need is a glass, and there you go. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Thank you. I am very proud of my strawberry port. It sells like crazy. It's amazing how quickly that sells. But I have people come in and say, "Oh, I'm really a port drinker," and they say, "Oh, this is great." Mm-hmm. Or I have people come in and say, "I'm not much of a port drinker," and then they go, "Oh, this is great."
Oh.
So, you
try
know,
it.
It's just
try it.
It really transcends all the taste of a port that people have. I'm very happy with it. So thank you.
It's
thank
just
you for
the flavor. The
point.
Flavor comes out. The flavor comes out. It's a good drink and tastes great. It's just very satisfying and pleasing. I mean, I don't know how else to put it, but very good. So I did it a few weeks ago too. I had the strawberry port, but I was like, I'll repeat it. I don't care. I like the spice. I like the star fruit that you have. There's all kinds of, you have the red, you have everything. I mean, stop by the winery and just check it out. And, it's not meaning to advertise or anything like that. And, you know, I'm not receiving anything. Just do it. hold on a second. I have to take another sip.
Yeah, thank you. The strawberry port and all the wines, I'm really quite thrilled with. The people ask me if I rotate wines and if I make different ones. And I said, why should I? These sell. These are good. I'm quite satisfied with the lineup we have. So,
yeah. So, and you never contact Ford and say, are you going to stop making the Mustang and start making the Pinto again? No, the Mustang sells, you know?
Yeah, really. Really. Good point.
Why would you? Why would you take that off the shelf and go, let me take a top seller or a good seller and take it off the shelf and, you know.
And make something else and see how that goes.
Yeah. Now, you did add the star fruit recently. I mean, not recently.
Yeah.
But, it's been what? I mean, that's something, you know, you didn't take anything off, I don't think, but you added that to the collection. So, you know, there you go. I mean, that's good to do. I mean, you know, Ford's going to do the same thing. Chevy's going to do the same thing. I don't know why I keep referencing cars. What's the alcohol content again on this?
Yeah, it's a good lineup right now, and I'm happy with it. And they all sell and. So I'm really quite thrilled. And the port, again, the port is actually
delicious.
It is delicious. And if I want to say it's a signature wine, that probably would be my signature wine at the place. But you had a visit that you, a winery you visited this past week or a couple of weeks.
week or two ago. I forgot when I was there. I went to True Blue Winery in Davenport, Florida. Yeah, I went there. We were just talking about that before the show started.
Right, yeah. So,
yeah.
And
yeah.
He became an employee, part-time employee, and
the maitre d', there you go.
The maitre d', yeah.
The co-owner came in, and she was kind of busy trying to get everything set up, I guess, because her husband went someplace else and wasn't ready. You know, she thought he was at the winery, and he wasn't. And, I come in there at 11:20, 20 minutes after they open, and nobody's there. And just walking around the place like, you know, I own the place, you know, and had to call her, and she came running from the, I guess she was at the blueberry, because they do blueberry wine, and she came running over, and, oh, I'm so sorry. And, okay, fine. Well, she was busy making other stuff, and other customers would come in, and she'd come running out, and I go, why don't you just give me some menus, and I'll hand them out for you. And she goes, oh, that'd be a great deal, because I ordered a sandwich, because there's a bistro also, so I ordered a sandwich. It was like a Philly cheesesteak or something. I forgot what it was. But so I had a bunch of menus. I was sitting next to the door anyway at the table, and people would come in, and I'd either catch them there or they'd go sit down, and I'd go, would you like to see a menu? We'll be right with you. I should have taken tips or something. I should have gotten like a little apron on. And
yeah. A little French hat. Yeah.
That would have been good. So there's a group of five or six that came in, and they'd sit down at these tables, and I go, here's the menu, and I don't know anything what to suggest to you. Just, you know, enjoy it, and the people who actually work here will be right with you.
Yeah. I'm just filling in this morning.
Yeah. That's pretty funny, though. A couple of guests came in. So if you're out there, yeah. that was good.
True Blue Winery is in Davenport, which is just south of Orlando.
Mm-hmm. It's over. It's close to Haines City on US 27. You go US 27 south from I-4, and it'll be on the left hand side, past Haines City, or just north of Haines City, somewhere around there. It's north of the downtown area of Haines City. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's a big warehouse, and they have, you can pick your own blueberries out there, and you know, whatever you want to with them, but that's all I could see of it. Big building, and a lot of tables in there, but I don't know.
27 is also the same route that Claremont Lake Ridge Winery is on, so that's way on north of there.
Lake Ridge, huh?
Yeah,
that's
Lake Ridge
near Claremont.
It's just north of Claremont.
Okay.
Now that's a pretty easy drive. Just take 50 from Orlando straight across to Claremont, and 27 north, and it's about maybe 5 miles north. Not even that far. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure. But Lake Ridge Winery is right there.
I might check them out next time.
That's a big winery. Hmm. That's one of the biggest one in the state now. The others have closed down. Lake Ridge
acres.
Is the biggest. In fact, my winery Bible here, my Wines and Vines directory, says that they produce between 50 and 100,000 cases a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
have we had we haven't had them on the show, have we?
No, we have not. There's another winery over there in Orlando, Quantum Leap Winery. That's located on Wilfred Drive in Orlando. But they got a list of personnel though. They've got, you know, quite a few people listed here as personnel. Reading out my book here. But if you're visiting more wineries than I am now. You're out there and doing it. So
I flew to Texas just to go to two. Well, I had to have Whataburger, but I went to
I went to Texas just go to wineries. Yeah.
I wish I could have gotten to more, but I mean, I think Grapevine had like 8 or 9, 10 maybe wineries in there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much potential there, but I didn't have enough time. If I'd spend a good week there, I could go all over North Texas and just check out wineries there. I mean,
yeah,
that was good. Oh, well,
we when get the some roots there in the Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be a good excuse and then visit wineries.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Well,
Well,
that's the show.
We've been gone, and so we had to catch up a little bit here on stuff. So.
And we catch up before the show starts, but you know, then all of a sudden they start the countdown. Your show will begin in 5 seconds. Like, no, I'm still telling them.
No, we're not done. You know, so.
Yeah, we're not done talking yet. So, okay. Anyway.
But there's,
good.
I was busy last week. Mike was going to do the show. Oh, if you want to call us, you can. This is 7:15 on May the or 19th. Tomorrow's 20th. May 19th, 2016. Mm-hmm. So we're live right now. If you want to give us a call, the number 646-727-3235, and operators are standing by.
That's
so,
right.
So if you want to talk to us or ask us questions, or if you've been to a winery and you want to talk about the winery you've been to, we'd love to talk to you about that too. That you know, that's always a possibility. Give us your slant on anything you've been to. So be happy to talk to you. Mike did a show a couple of weeks ago and he had some real estate. I'm going to wait. I'll do real estate in another couple of weeks. I'm not going to do it again now. We've got some things to talk to you about, a few things to get caught up on over the that we haven't talked about. We had a show a couple weeks ago about Pierce disease and the what's going on with that. I sent Mike a series of from Reuben Family of Wines. They have a series that they sent out, email series. It's a 7-chapter series on wine, starting in the vineyard all the way through the harvest, winemaking, cellar aging, enjoying wines, red wines and white wines, and all sorts of stuff. And very good series and a lot of stuff. I'm not going to go through it today, but one of the shows I will cover some of those. It's good information. Really, it's a lot of good information. It's capsulized quite well. It's not like, you know, you spend a whole show on just one aspect or each chapter. You can go through the whole thing at once. But interesting stuff and pretty precise and to the point and It was really quite an interesting read. And actually, Mike, I didn't tell you this, but I also received a certificate of completion because I read the series. They sent me a certificate of completion. So just a little thing I can print out saying that I read their series, their 7-part series on their wine. So, yeah, cool thing. And since you are reading it, I don't know if I can change the name on this, but I'll see if I can't change the name and send you a certificate of completion.
That'd be awesome. I'll hang it up here in the studio.
There you go. We can hang them both up in our studios and have it, you know, start becoming more legitimate. Yeah. So, but we had a big event. I can tell you about our big event too. I didn't get a chance to tell you about that. Wolfstock was last Saturday, and Wolfstock was our second biggest event of the year. We had something like 55 vendors, I believe, that showed up to this. Different pet adoption vendors and different food and items and all sorts of different things. It was really, really a lot of fun. Always loved these things. Woodstock, and then in the fall we had the Pasco Pet Fest. And these are always really fun because everybody brings their dogs in, everything from great big, Great Danes and Bull and Mastiffs down to little bitty Chihuahuas and Yip dogs and stuff like this, and the ones that they push around in the baby carriages and all that. So, but really a lot of fun. We had quite a few people come in over the day. I don't know what the final count was on numbers of people, but we had quite a few people come in. A lot of people did tastings and stuff, and we just had a good time. So if you missed it, plan on in the future. Actually, we had one of the guests that was there listens to the show. And while I was doing a tasting, he said, "Ron, have you told him about All About Wine yet?" And I go, "Why, no, I haven't." He says, "You really need to do that." And he said, so I told during that tasting about All About Wine. But and if he's listening, thank you. But he says he's a listener and enjoys the show. So, but it was a good event, a lot of fun, and the place looked great because I cleaned up, except that I got everything mowed, got everything cleaned up, and went in there Saturday morning, and the old oak trees that are surrounding the property, a branch fell off an old oak tree, so it had to be dragged back out of the way, but it didn't fall on anything, and it was, you know, no problems or anything. That's what happens with these old oaks. So that, but it was a very good event. We had a good time. A lot of people came in, and everybody enjoyed it. And we are already scheduled for Woofstock number 3 for next spring. And we are now looking forward to coming up. Actually, a week from this Saturday, we're doing Imagine Our Florida, which we'll have more details next week. But it's a group that is looking at trying to keep the native animals, plants, flowers, everything in Florida as pristine as possible without introduction of introduced species and stuff like that. So it's a conservation group of Save Our Wildlife, Save Our Plants, Save Our Lizards, all that type organization doing a fundraiser. Looking forward to that. That's coming up a week from this Saturday, and we'll have more details next week. So, Mike is drinking port and tweeting right now, I'm sure. So let me jump into some of this stuff here that I wanted to talk to you about. Drought is starting to make, and climate change is starting to make an effect all around the world. It is something that we knew was going to happen. We knew it was going to cause problems. We knew it was going to be something out there that would... What are you doing? This is Free Speech Radio. Now, that's not supposed to pop up. Why did you do that? There we go. Okay. New reports are saying that one of the biggest contributing factors to the early wine grape harvest in France is from climate change. It's also saying that the climate change has been affecting areas since the 1980s, slowly moving harvest sooner and just offsetting the balance of what we're used to. Temperature drivers up 75% of the variation year to year due to the temperatures, and that's consistent whether you're looking at the 1600s or the 1800s or even 10 years ago. The droughts, the weather change, all that is making a difference across France and across different areas. I received an email, unsolicited, but I'm glad I got it, from Spain, talking about how the southern part of Spain is getting really warm, and they're concerned about what the weather is going to do and what's happening down there and how it's going to start affecting the grapes. And this article goes on to talk about Sonoma and The harvest had been 2 weeks earlier for the last 3 years, and it's starting to affect the winemaking process. Wines are ready, you know, and you know, you bring in the fruit, but the labor planning and getting people early and all that is becoming a problem. It's affecting areas all over, and not just because of the grapes coming in early, but because of trying to coordinate everything. A lot of areas in California, and I'm sure a lot of you know this, but a lot of areas in California rely on migrant workers to help pick grapes. The ones, particularly the ones that aren't done, not done by hand, are not done by machine, are done by hand. And the migrant workers go to different places. They work their way around and all that. They'll pick this, they'll pick that, they'll do this, they'll do that. And it happens here in Florida as well as, you know, California, different areas, Texas, and all that. If the grapes are coming in a couple of weeks early, it makes it a little bit more difficult to arrange labor. And so, yeah, it's an issue there. But everything is being affected, drought and climate change. They're saying that El Nino is fading out right now. It is fading out. And La Nina is coming in, and they expect a strong La Nina, which is just the opposite of El Nino. Whereas we got rains and stuff, La Nina will give us just the opposite weather. If you really want to look at it that way, that's really what happens. So, but we will follow that as it happens. We'll see how it's affecting the grapevines and all that throughout the country and as the weeks go by. There was a serious frost that hit Burgundy. This is, and again, climate change. People say, well, that's climate warming. How can that be a serious frost? It's climate change, and things like a serious frost do make a difference. Temperatures went below zero back at the end of April in the Burgundy area and other places in Europe. And initial reports saying that it was extremely rare to get these cold temperatures this time of year at the end of April. The higher vineyards in Chablis and Gran Azzurro was worse affected, but other areas were also severely impacted because of the frost. There have been reports of equally severe frost in Lower and Languedoc and then Abruzzo in Italy. So, again, part of the climate change, part of the whole picture, it's affected a lot of stuff, and they don't know the full extent of the damage, but it is really has affected a lot of vineyards and a lot of grapevines in France and in Italy. So as I see stuff and as I find out stuff, I will pass on to you any information I find along that line. Let's see. And that's it on this page. Article here talking about the winemaker. Don't be ashamed of using oak alternatives. That is, we talked about oak alternatives a little bit in different shows. That's using things other than oak barrels. You know, it could be oak socks, oak planks, oak chips, oak dust, oak boards, oak anything, just as long as it's oak and it is in contact with the wine. Cheaper, and that's really one of the big things, cheaper and much easier to use. We talked to a winery in Missouri. I can't remember the name of it right now, but he was telling us that he used to oak, and he tried to get oak sock, and he was amazed at how much oak he gets for so much shorter period of time using an alternative like that. So the second annual Wines and Vines Oak Conference is, you know, trying to embrace people, or trying to get people to embrace the alternatives of oak. Just a whole lot better way to get it into your wines instead of having all the oak barrels sitting around. Although it's impressive, I got to admit, but not always necessary. Another problem in vineyards, and this is red blotch, virus known as grapevine red blotch associated virus, or GRBAV, was discovered in vineyards planted with red wine grapes in Napa back in 2008. And it created a disease on the vines that presented sort of red blotches that start at the leaf edges, leaf margins, and blades, and continues to the primary veins and secondary veins. And in white grape cultivars, it appears as white or yellow. A team has discovered that it is the three-cornered alfalfa tree hopper that is carrying this disease. It's able to transmit the virus that causes the red blotch. They still have to confirm transmission in the field, but the indications show that it is the vector of red blotch disease. The entomology department at UC Davis made the discovery. Frank Zolom, who is a distinguished professor of entomology at UC Davis, and they said that the several other insects that carry the grapevine red blotch associated virus, it hasn't been clear if these insects have picked it up because of the alfalfa, three-cornered alfalfa tree hopper. Have not seen a picture of the three-cornered alfalfa tree hopper, so I don't know why it is three-cornered, but they are out to eradicate it any way they can and manage it and do what they can. Once a vines are infected by the red blotch, there is no current method for curing the problem. And same thing with in white vines or red vines. So it's something they found the vector, and that could lead to control, if not cure, right now. But they know the vector, the glassy-wing sharpshooter, passing on Pierce disease, and they're just vigilant at watching if it comes in and all that. So this is going to start becoming something else that they're going to have to start keeping an eye on. But the three-cornered alfalfa tree hopper, new vector for red blotch disease. Let me make a note of that. I'm going to see if I can't find a... there's another one there. I need to take care of that. But I'm going to see if I can't find a picture of it. Three-cornered... alfalfa tree hopper. And tree hopper. Okay, I'm not real fast in my writing, because if I write real fast, I won't be able to read it myself. So, red blotch.
There's a lot of... There's a red blotch. There's interesting... Some pictures are like little green insects.
Red blotch virus.
I was looking at pictures of them.
Oh, there we go. I'll follow up and see if I can't find a picture or something. If I can find a picture, maybe I can transfer it onto our website. If I can, then good. That'll be good. So, something we can keep an eye on. Red Voss. Farm by the million Bordeaux futures. Why make your show Salter Site 10 in Australia? Virtual science discovery. Scientists discover brain's binge drinking reward circuit. You know, there's probably a government grant for something like that. That would be a fun thing to do. Get a government grant just so you can see why people are happy because they drink a lot. causes a feedback loop whereby the alcohol is consumed, the more the brain is rewarded, and so therefore the brain wants more. I'm sure there was a lot of money involved in that study, and I don't understand why they have to do those studies, because you can pretty much tell the more you drink, the more you want. The speaking of drinking and being good for you, I saw this article on why drinking red wine and eating chocolate is good for you. It's actually good for your gut, they're saying, good for the stomach. Diversity is good for your gut, and red wine might help. In a couple of studies published in Science, researchers from Belgium and the Netherlands present the most comprehensive work on the human microbiome to date. They studied the poop of thousands of citizen volunteers, and they mapped the bacteria that lived inside their guts, and they linked it with associated lifestyle factors. And they found that they don't know what the best microbiome is, or whether there or not there's one normal microbiome, but they're going to have to wait a while longer for the perfect poop transplant therapies, because they're not sure what actually is the best. But studies have shown that red wine is very good in the, let's see, don't talk to me, lady, a video just jumped up here. Red wine is very good in that it can create good microbes in your gut and in your intestinal system, which tends to increase the biodiversity of your intestinal or your stomach. And the babies didn't seem to be influenced by breastfeeding from mothers who were drinking wine. So there, all of you new mothers, I have a daughter-in-law that doesn't drink wine while she says she has a new baby, a new grandbaby for me. And I told her, that's not going to hurt. She goes, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, here's a new study that shows it doesn't. In Belgium, they found that beer also can influence it. And so beer, wine, and chocolate, all the studies found that small dietary changes have big effects. Some dairy products, yogurt, buttermilk, and all that increase the species in the gut. But faux-fat products tend to decrease that diversity. So red wine, coffee seem to increase it. And the high-calorie, carb-heavy diets had the opposite effect. So there you go. It's always been a good reason to enjoy chocolate and wine in moderation. And the results may be a little different, but they noted that 19 different medications, most of them commonly used, seem to have a negative impact on the gut diversity. So antihistamines, hormones, anti-inflammatory drugs all were implicated, as well as not being good. But red wine and chocolate and certain beers are good. So yay for all you wine drinkers out there, and chocolate. And you know, it's funny on this. This whole article, I read this earlier today, and I paraphrased some of this. And I skipped over some of the stuff, but not once did they say, when they were talking about the chocolate, did they say anything about a high cocoa level and stuff like that. And we always hear about how the cocoa levels has to be real high. Nothing was said about it on this. So, I don't know. But, interesting study. Wine and beer and chocolate, as we've always known, has been good. But it's good for your gut now. Good for your intestinals and all that, Steve. All that stuff on there. Let's see. I just told you about the France, Solidor, China's. That takes care of that section there. sets wrapper. Wine lovers. Constellation Modesto wine growers work with nature. Pinot Noir, Barbera, the landmark wine, hidden gem of Sierra Foda. Barbera, the landmark wine or hidden gem of Sierra Foothills. I like a Barbera. This this one of the articles that caught my eye because I've always been a Barbera fan. Learned to like Barbera out in California many, many years ago. And it's basically a an Italian wine, noted for Italian. But every year, the Sierra Foothills has a Barbera Festival. It's coming up on June 11th, as a matter of fact, in Plymouth, California. And there's more than 60 Sierra Foothill wineries and 25 wineries from elsewhere in Florida that will have Barbera available for tasting. Wineries of the Sierra Foothills, 30% of the current 280 Sierra Foothills wineries declared that Barbera is their landmark wine or their hidden gem. Barbera is nice. It's not as heavy as Cabs, but it's just got a great flavor. Something about Barberas that I've always found just extremely satisfying. California Sierra Foothills is the biggest winery in the U.S. in geographical terms. It's also one of the fastest growing. For the past 5 years, they've added 15 to 20 new wineries every year. Barbera is one of the predominant varieties in the Sierra Foothills, and that's why it's being featured at the festival in Plymouth on June the 11th. About a quarter of the tasting will offer Barbera from other California areas. And so they will be sampling Barberas from over 80 wineries. So it's a good thing. The Barbera Festival was founded in 2011. Let me give you a little background on the Barbera Festival. In 2011, to celebrate the Barbera variety. The event has gained attention throughout the West. In 2015, moved to the beautiful grounds of the Terra d'Ora Winery, Mantovina Vineyards, the original home of Barbera in Amador County. The festival, which also helps launch the immensely successful Amador Four Fires Festival, features more than 80 wines from across California, fine local cuisine, live music, and regional artists. Terra d'Oro Winery Mantovina Vineyards is located at 20680 Shenandoah School Road in Plymouth. That's in California. All proceeds benefit the nonprofit Amador Community Foundation. So if you are going to be in California or you are a big, big Barbera fan, two good reasons, or just because you like to attend festivals like that, three good reasons to go to the Barbera Festival in Amador County at Plymouth. The 11th is coming up. Oh, let's see, that's a Saturday. That's coming up in, let's see, today's 19th, 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks from this coming Saturday. So mark your calendars. If you are interested, go to barberafestival.com. And if you haven't had a Barbera, check them out. Pick yourself up one. It's a nice red wine that has some wonderful flavors and wonderful taste. Like I said, I've always been a Barbera fan. Okay. And let me go to this here. Kroger, one of the biggest ones, grocery stores out there, has decided to drop a plan to charge alcohol suppliers for how it organizes beer, wine, and liquor on the shelves. I am glad they did that. When I first read that, I thought that was ridiculous. It's tough enough for people to get on the shelves anyway, but when they, you know, start charging more for it, it just puts the smaller wineries and everybody into that much more of a disadvantage. And I'm big on getting these small wineries out there on the shelves. It's just the more shipping that's available and more stuff like that, the better it's going to be to get wines on the shelves. And if stores like Kroger start charging for space, it's going to relegate the small wineries to one row on the bottom shelf or something like that. So they have dropped that. They have dropped that thought, that idea, that cost. And they're going to not do it. So, good. I am thrilled with that. eBay. Everybody knows eBay. Everybody's familiar with eBay. Everybody is, well, I'm sure, have used eBay at one time or another. But eBay last week has announced that they will have eBay Wine, an online destination that allows wine enthusiasts and experts to browse collectibles, rare, and everyday wines. In celebration of the launch, eBay for Charity, one of the largest platforms that helps millions of eBay users support different causes, will be auctioning off a one-of-a-kind wine and dine experience. The auction has been closed. Actually, it's too late for it now. It was only for 4 days back the 1st of May. Why did this just now show up on my announcements? And that is just really strange. But you can go to www.ebay.com/wine. And that will put you to where you can start looking at these different ones. eBay for Charity is a big part of eBay. Actually, eBay is on NASDAQ under eBay. Do a lot of charity stuff and all that. So check out if you're interested. Just, you know, for giggles, just check out what eBay are showing on their wine site, ebay.com/wine. I'm sorry, let me do that right. ebay.com/wine. We have talked a lot about how the wine is being affected in California because of climate change, but we need to look at other areas too. And here was an interesting article. This was from Forbes magazine. This is written by a blogger for Ford, or a contributor, I'm sorry, for Forbes magazine, Thomas Pelliccia. He said, climate researchers to winemakers, head for the hills. And they were talking about Finger Lakes. The elevation 800 feet at the Finger Lakes region in New York, prairie clouds and sporadic deluges of rain. And it's not as warm as it should be, or as warm as May should be. Yet the sentiment being observing the past 30 years in the vineyard will surely come up evidence for climate change in the Finger Lakes. The region's harvest preceded or coincided with harvests in Napa a few times in the last half decade. Its authors, there's a Harvard University and NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies, titled The Nature Climate Change, was released. And the author said that thanks to decades of early grape harvest, the prove a point, the Berkeley Earth chart shows that during the 20th century, France warmed by 2.7 degrees. Columbia University researchers looked at France and Swiss grape harvest records between the years 1600 and 2007. They found that since 1980, French harvests have gained 2 weeks over the last 400-year average. And as harvest, it's good news and bad news for wineries. I just talked about that a little bit earlier, how it's gone. I just read in the paper this morning, I believe it was, that it talked that 2015 was, again, one of the hottest years on record. And the winter we just passed was also one of the hottest years on record. So it's affecting everything. I mean, these grapevines that go dormant and stuff, when you start getting warm snaps in the middle of summer, or in the middle of winter, that is going to create a problem. And also, the water situation. You know, if you want to continue to make good wine, get off the floors or get off the lower elevations and get your wines up, or your grapevines, up to a higher elevation. Without using a higher elevation, you are going to be affected greatly by the idiosyncrasies of the weather, and that can be a major problem. So, let's see. Australian budget, New Zealand, and Mondavi's 50th anniversary. No. Let me go on up to this here. And something just fell out. Well, it wasn't serious. Let's see. Treasury wine. Bacteria carrying bug threatens wine industry. Let's see what this. I haven't looked at this particular one yet. Let me see what this one says. Bacteria carrying bug threatens wine industry. Advancements in UC Davis greenhouses to save wine from a dirty bacteria carrying insect. Oh, wow. This is talking about Pierce disease. Oh, I didn't see this. Short article. Let me read it to you. I haven't read it yet, so I'll just read it aloud. Pierce disease is a bacteria that has been killing vineyards for centuries. The bacteria is commonly transmitted by a flying insect called the glassy-winged sharpshooter. The bug feeds on the grapevines. Bacteria on its needle-like mouth is transmitted into the plants and clogs water veins, eventually killing the grapevine. Pierce disease killed more than 300,000 acres of California vineyards in the past 20 years. Oh, my gosh. Oh, this guy's talking in my background here. Y'all shut up here. Quit talking. Every time I switch off them, they quit talking. Quit talking. I don't want to hear you. I can't turn down my sound, because if I turn down my sound, you won't hear me. But
okay, now we don't hear you.
Do you hear the video?
No, you just went silent. You said you were doing something and you said but, and then that was it.
All right, I thought maybe the video was loud enough that you can hear it, but I guess not.
No.
And it won't stop. Mm-hmm. Why won't you stop? There, stop. And it won't stop. Well, let me put it up here to the end. No, it won't go to the end. Yeah, it will. All right. No, don't load. Boy, that's probably why I didn't go to this website. All right, here we go. 300,000 acres of California vineyards in the past 20 years. And prevention costs the agriculture industry millions of dollars a year. What are we looking at now? Why does this keep on making noise up here? Let's see. Turn that down to mute. Maybe that'll help. All right. There we go. That should do it. UC Davis professor Andrew Walker spent more than a decade breeding a new variety of grapes that is resistant to Pierce disease. The grapes from the resistant plants are similar in flavor to your local red and white wine variety. The only difference is that nameless plants are bred to resist Pierce disease. Walker's plants will not replace current varieties. They will be marketed to areas that have a history of Pierce disease. Oh, maybe Florida. Why have we not heard of this down here? Winemakers will be able to add or blend disease-resistant grapes to non-resistant grapes. Walker hopes this plant will keep grape growers from going out of business should another outbreak of Pierce disease strikes again. The new grapes are expected to go to market next year. It could take 6 to 7 years before Pierce resistant grapes are made into wine. Huh. I didn't see that at all there. Wow. I'm going to see if I can't get a hold of them. UC Davis Professor Andrew Walker. I'm going to see if I can't get a hold of him. All right, there we go. That's good there. Pierce disease. They're 200,000 acres. That's shocking to me. I didn't realize. I knew they were losing acreage in California. I knew it was happening, but I didn't realize it was that much. That is a tremendous amount of acreage. That's amount of acreage there is more than some states have total that they're losing each year. So I'll have to look up and see if I can't get a hold of that person and find out some more information about the new Pierce disease resistant grapevines and why we're not hearing more and more about it. Nothing more on that one. All right, why aren't you okay? They're fake wines. We've talked about fake wines a lot on the program off and on because there's always stuff going on with fake wines. And here's something else. The Clacks Actions. This isn't the fake wine. Oh, this is a Clacks Action suit against InBev. InBev is a big company. And InBev has been, or BevMo, which I think is a section of InBev, has been accused of selling wines that are not what the actual label says, filling it with cheaper wines. So, let me see. That wasn't what I wanted to get here. I was looking at this, and it didn't come up like it should. And no, it's not doing that. Well, I won't do that. Here's another article that I thought was really quite interesting. This is talking about, we've talked about TCA, 2,4-6 tritonus, all that gets into the corks that will cause a wine to be corked. And this has been a problem, for a long time. They're always looking at new ways to treat it, new ways to take care of it and all that. Natural corks are affected by TCA, and the amount of TCA has declined dramatically in the past decade, overall around the world and everything. Most of the natural cork suppliers are doing sensory testing on the corks before they send them out to be sure there's not a trace of it. But it's also very time-consuming, very expensive. Now they are looking at, cork makers are looking at becoming TCA-free. It's a technology that claims to offer a 100% success rate in detecting and eradicating TCA. Massilva, Portugal, and Cork Supply have invested in the machines that check each individual cork for TCA using cutting-edge gas spectroscopy technology. They're saying that it is creates a TCA-free cork. Each cork is individually tested to undetectable levels of 0.5 nanograms, eliminating bad corks from the supply if it detects any. The technology was launched earlier this year after 3 years of research. They have found that it is not as expensive as they thought. It's working well, and it's moving toward 100% TCA-free corks. And they said they will be guaranteeing it. The cork supply expects to examine more than 20 million corks in its first year and eventually offer up to 60 million corks a year tested by 2017, which is next year. So big step in getting TCA. I've always said, you know, I mean, the chances of getting a corked wine are rather slim. I mean, really, basically. And if you do get a corked wine, most people don't understand what a corked wine tastes like. And I really have to say that in all honesty, because most people don't. I've had lots of wines over the years, and it was about 12, 13 years ago that I had a corked wine, and someone says, "Ooh, this wine is corked." And I'm going, "Whoa," the little light came on above my head. And at the time it wasn't the new lights, it was the old light bulbs. And so it shined bright and right away. And I said, "This is a corked wine." I never realized what it really tasted like. Now I know, and now I know what to look for, but most of the time you won't notice. Most of the time you won't see it or anything, but it does put a wine off. And I've always had the opinion, especially since I know what it's like, if one bottle that I buy is corked, then that's one bottle too many. So if they said they can get corked or get corks that are 100% TCA free, more power to them. I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. And it's, you know, maybe more corks will be used, although those who have switched over to all their alternative seeds probably won't switch back anyway. So we'll leave our show tonight on that happy thought that we might never have to worry about TCA in wines.
Yeah. Very good. The technology is getting to the point where they're actually using it for good things like that.
Yeah. They can actually discover that. Yeah. I mean, you know, TCA is like parts per trillion. I mean, that's amazing that they can have technology that can pick up something that small. I mean, they're looking at 0.5.
Wow.
You know, so it's
amazing stuff.
It is.
Yep, I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Maybe I don't know. Maybe we'll get somebody involved in that to kind of explain that to us. But I was writing down some information. The Andrew Walker, UC Davis. That sounds like an interesting discussion there to follow up on that with the Pierce disease. So that's good.
That should be good too. I got that written down. I was able to scribble that down quickly too, and see if we can't find out more. It'd be nice to be able to get him on the show.
Yeah, that'd be great. We had the other guy from UC Davis, wasn't it? UC Davis was. That was a long time ago. There was a professor there.
No, that was University of Southern Oregon.
I thought that we had somebody from UC Davis on here.
Maybe we did. Now, come to think of it, yeah.
I gotta think of the name. I can't remember the names.
I can't
remember
either.
Gary somebody, but Gary might have been.
Gary was from Southern Oregon University.
Okay, there was somebody. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, because we talked to him about. Oh, I can't remember now either. Oh well. I was counting to find that stuff on me. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh well.
No. Hold on. No events at the winery this weekend because you had a really busy one last weekend. So
that is
good this weekend.
Oh. It is quiet this weekend. That doesn't mean people can't come out, but it's no event.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's gonna be great time to come out. Anytime at the winery. It's open 7 days a week, except on major holidays. And I only think there's two or three of those that you don't you stay closed for.
That's not very many.
No, it's not.
Dude, that sounds sad, right?
Okay. Anyway, we'll end the show on that note, and we'll see you all next Thursday, the 26th of May, 26th of May, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio on All About Wine. And thanks for tuning in. And if you'd like information on the show, you can go to the website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. And there's also information on how to be a guest and all that good stuff. Also, thanks to Wine Cheetah on Twitter for liking one of our one of my posts tonight. It said drinking red wine and eating chocolate is good for you, and they liked that tweet, so I got a little notification on that. And thank you for doing that. Yeah,
yeah, cool. And it's a study, so it really is. Yeah.
That's pretty good. You all have a great rest of the week. Keep drinking wine. It's good for you. That's what I can tell you.
What is it? Saturday? Saturday we got. What do we got Saturday? Saturday is a holiday. I noticed this earlier.
21st?
Armed Forces Day. So there's a good reason. And United States Spinal Association was founded on Sunday back in 1946. So there's two good days to drink to celebrate Armed Forces Day and Spinal Cord Association. So
Good
holiday. Drinking holidays for this week.
Ah, didn't realize that was a Saturday. Okay, the 21st. Okay, good.
Yeah, Armed Forces Day. Bikes, too.
All right. We will see you all on the 26th, and you'll have a great week, and thanks for tuning in.
Have a wonderful week. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.